And good morning. It is 16 minutes after 8 a.m. You're tuned to your community radio station, Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. And joining me in the studio, Nikki Zielinski, poet in residence at the Island Institute, all the way here from Cleveland. Welcome to Morning Edition, Nikki.
Hi, thank you.
And Peter Bradley is the executive director of the Island Institute. Welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having us in.
Well, Nikki, welcome to Sitka. You've been here for a little while. When did you get here?
Got here in about mid-September. I was out in Anchorage first, getting oriented a little bit with the landscape and the program, and then I came out here, and Peter introduced me to the town, and so I've been here for about 6 weeks now.
All righty. Let's talk a little bit about your poetry. If you had to categorize, what would you do? How would you describe it?
So I'm not sure if I'm using terms that are sort of lingo used in the poetry world that people will recognize, but I would say it's very much in the lyrical tradition, so it's very much concerned with rhythms and the sounds of language, but also somewhat elliptical. So there's a narrative concept usually behind what I'm doing, but it's usually guided a lot more by, I would say, a dreamlike surrealism than straightforward narrative. So it's not always exactly, it uses the storytelling tradition, but it doesn't always tell a story in and of itself.
Do you find you gravitate towards certain topics more than others, or?
I do write a lot about folklore and fairy tales. That's something that's been a through line for my poetry, even before I started kind of focusing on it more in the past few years. And I write a lot about the woods. So not just the woods, but the landscape in general. I grew up in the Rust Belt, so those industrial sort of landscapes come in a lot, but they're also infused with the wildness and isolation you can experience in the woods in the East Coast.
Yeah, it's a really interesting juxtaposition out there between structures and green.
Yeah.
In the Rust Belt.
It really changes your perspective. I mean, when I was little, I grew up in downtown Cleveland, and I would go into the woods with my father, and I used to think that the bark on the trees was rust, and I used to think the clouds came out of the steam coming out of the steel factories. So there's this weird way in which I thought the natural landscape was manufactured, and the manufactured landscape was natural. So it's been interesting always to explore that.
When do you think you started thinking of yourself or conceptualizing yourself as a poet?
I first became interested in poetry when I was about 7 or 8, but I didn't think of myself as really being someone who wrote poetry myself until I was maybe 14 or 15. I did write, but I mean, even as a child, I was conscious that what I was writing was not very good in comparison to what I was reading. So I thought I was just sort of playing. And then once I got to be about 14, 15 and been doing it for a couple of years, I started to think, no, this is a fundamental part of my identity and what I want to do with my life.
So what role does it play in your life now? How does it fit within what you do in your life?
I think it's always been and remains the way I think and process ideas I have. So I tend to be a very tangential person. And when I sit down to write, it forces me to focus and spend time with what may have been a fleeting idea. And through exploring those ideas, sometimes I find that there's a deeper level of thought or complexity there that I wouldn't have noticed if I had just never put it down on paper and worked through it.
While you're here in Sitka, what kind of writing have you been doing?
So I thought I was going to be spending a lot of time doing some intensive revision, which was my plan, but it's hard not to get caught up in the environment here. It's so beautiful and so different than what I'm used to in a way that I didn't really expect. I knew it was going to be beautiful, but I didn't know there would be this sense of I went out walking one night and someone stopped me and said, there's a bear up the street, so you should be careful and you should probably go home. And I've never encountered that before, where if you're just out walking around in a city, you might actually have to worry about a bear or a bald eagle might swoop out of the air. So there's this really interesting wildness that presses right in on the civilized sense of the city of Sitka itself. And that has been coming out a lot in the writing. I didn't really notice that until I was reading through some of the work I'd done, but there's this idea again of the civilization sort of pressing up against the natural world and its wildness that is kind of similar to what I was talking about earlier with the industrial and the natural, but very particular to this landscape. So I've been doing a lot of, I would say, impressionistic writing. I don't know exactly where it'll go yet, but it's different than what I plan to be doing, which is one of the most wonderful things about traveling around and being able to write.
So your actual writing has been influenced by your experiences here. What about the process itself of writing or just being creative?
I mean, that's always, it's a huge gift to be given a residency, because when you're home, even though I write on a regular basis, there are so many other distractions with, you know, grocery shopping and my day job and all of these things that crowd in on your time to sit and reflect and really look at the world around you and spend time just sort of silently observing and thinking. So being out here and having time to just do that, to just sit around and think and look and experience, and then also have the actual physical time to spend writing instead of, you know, walking the dogs or doing all the little things I do at home, that has given me a lot of space to explore that you just don't get when you're back in your sort of real life, quote unquote.
Can you spend a little time exploring the idea of violence as it appears in your work?
Yeah, I began obsessing about these things I would see in the news, things in my own past, and the way that violence sort of infuses almost every landscape, no matter where you are in the world or what time period you're in, who you are as a person. So I started writing about 10 years ago about certain aspects of violence I'd witnessed in my own life, but they felt very indulgent in a way because they were so specific to my experience and it's not really what I wanted to do. So as I was reading just for fun, I was rereading a lot of the Grimm and Hans Christian Andersen fairy tales and thinking about the way that we use these stories to expose children to the possibility of violence or the threats that are present in the world, but we do it through these stories that are actually very charming and appealing and have this, they're easy to approach, and even though they contain very scary subjects, so we can use them to reveal something to our children that we couldn't just in a rote sort of recitation. So I decided to start using those forms, not just the actual stories, which I do use, but the genericness of fairy tales and the similarities and variations of the same stories along different cultures and time periods to channel my own experience through, to make them a lot more generalizable, but to also make them more pleasant to read, I guess, in a way. So they deal with some scary and sometimes disturbing subject matter, but I feel that they still are approachable and beautiful as art objects because they resonate with this history of storytelling and also have that same disguise of charm and magic that we use to communicate with our kids. So,
And that topic of violence, or that theme that runs through some of your work of violence, has that been impacted by your experience here at all? Changed, influenced in any way?
It's hard to say at this point because I think a lot of the work I've been doing, some of it is going to be incorporated now into this manuscript I brought with me, which I didn't expect because I really wanted to be done with it, but there are aspects of that that are present in this environment that I think would really enrich what I've done in the work that I mostly wrote elsewhere. So we'll see where that goes. I'm interested to see, but I probably won't know for another few months yet. So,
well, I'm going to turn my attention to Peter now. Peter, Nikki is here through Erasmussen Foundation Artist in Residency Program. And how can the community interact with Nikki?
Yeah, well, Nikki did a reading a few weeks ago, and then we have a few things coming up here. On the 2nd, Nikki's going to do a sort of combo platter event, I think, at 6:30. We'll start with a workshop. This will be at the Island Institute at 304 Baranoff Street. So a casual poetry workshop, and then we'll launch into a reading, and that reading will feature some of the poems that show up in a collection that we're working on together, featuring artwork by Rebecca Polson. It will be a collection of broadsides in a small box. And so in our dreams, that will be ready on the 2nd. And so that's the big one. And then Nikki's going to head off on using the ferries to check out the coastline from in between Juneau and Gustavus and Juneau and Petersburg and here, and so do a little bit of a ferry wander. And that will wrap up the residency. Nikki will return to Anchorage on the 14th to be with the other artists that are part of this sort of 8-residency national program.
So how did the Island Institute choose Nikki for this?
It's interesting. It's one of the cool features of this particular program that Rasmussen does. We're linked up with the Jurassic Artist Residency Program down in California. And so they nominate a few of the artists that they've been particularly impressed by. And they bring all sorts of artists through, but usually they nominate writers for us. And then we go through our own sort of internal committee selection process. And I think we were drawn to something about Nikki is that of all the writers I've seen come through here, Nikki's the most sort of diligently formal in terms of sort of striking on a concept of how the form of the poems will best serve her ideas and in really following through on that. And so the first event that we did with Nikki a few weeks ago was a series of elegies that
elegies
that centered around some of those topics of violence and it's really interesting to see a poet sort of dive so firmly into form. And then there's also this sort of really cool morbid naturalism that shows up across Nikki's poems, and it's great work. So we're excited to have Nikki here and to be able to make this little publication with her.
Okay, and how can folks contact the Institute to find out more?
Thank you. At 747-3794, or by popping by anytime at 304 Baranoff Street, or by emailing peter@iialaska.org.
Great. Well, we
are. Or visiting our website at iialaska.org.
Thank you both for coming in this morning. Unfortunately, we are out of time.
Thank you so much for having us.
We've been speaking with Nikki Zielinski, poet in residence at the Island Institute, and Peter Bradley, executive director of the Institute.